D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What's the connection between a man who's been dead for 136 years and the rash of school violence we see today? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Your life is affected every day by men who lived a long, long time ago. In some cases, their ideas have been the source of tremendous misery. And yet, most people are unaware that they have been influenced. On today's program, we will investigate the ideas of Charles Darwin, whose theory of naturalistic evolution was called by Dr. D. James Kennedy the root of the problem. You will see how Darwin's influence shows up every day on the news, including in the tragic spate of school shootings we've seen in recent years. And we will share a valuable resource with you to help you understand how the ideas of men long dead have a significant impact on your daily life in unseen ways. As we begin, I recently had the chance to sit down and talk with Ken Ham at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville. Ken is the founder and president of Answers in Genesis, which has been shining the searchlight of truth on Darwinian fallacies for decades.
It's great to have you here, Ken. It's always, always good to talk with you. You're a bit of a prophet, I think, in that you've looked at the scriptures and said that much of what we see happening in the culture around us is very predictable based on our denial of the reality of God and His call in our lives. When I think of Charles Darwin, he died over 130 years ago, and yet his ideas continue to have sway in our world, and particularly in Western culture. What is the poison that Darwin injected into the bloodstream of American culture?
Many people sort of have this idea that Darwin wasn't really anti-God. I mean, if you read his letters and you read his books, he was really out to try to explain life by natural processes. He was really out to try to get rid of this idea that God created anything. And so it's interesting. Darwin didn't invent the idea of evolution, obviously. Right. I mean, the Greeks believed in evolution. He just popularized a particular view of evolution that gave people what they thought was a scientific justification for rejecting God and explaining everything by natural processes. And so what he really did was to popularize, if you like, naturalism. Yes. You know, back in the 1700s, 1800s, there was an increasing number of people who wanted to explain everything without God, and they wanted to get rid of this notion of God from our culture. And so they started to explain the fossil record over millions of years and so on.
Darwin's ideas really were based on what we would probably call today microevolution, changes within a species. And those changes he saw within a species, he applied and said, well, one species therefore changes into another. That doesn't necessarily follow, though, does it?
No, and there's a lot of confusion here. And it really goes back to days in which when people read Genesis, and Genesis 1 talks about God created kinds of animals and plants after their kind. It's the Hebrew word we pronounce mean. That we would say is more at the family level of classification, you know, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Yeah. But at sometimes people thought that meant species, and then they realized it didn't really mean species, and so there's sort of confusion there. And there's this idea today that if you see new species forming, that's evolution, and that's what Darwin was talking about. But see, Darwin was talking about much more than that. He was saying, because we see changes happening in dogs or cats or pigeons or whatever it is, finches and so on, that given enough time, then you can change one kind into a totally different kind, and that's a whole different matter. So he was looking at, yes, what some people call microevolution. I don't tend to use that term because mm-hmm. the word evolution, it's to most people, they think, oh, ape-like creatures to man, you know, Darwinian right. evolution, molecules to man. But the small changes that we see, that can result in different species forming. In fact, if you take Darwin's finches, there's just been some research done to show that within, 16, 17 years, there's been a new species of finch formed. By the way, it's still a finch. It's still a bird. And that's the whole point. Right. So you can form new species. And you'll find that even today, when people are asked in universities, what's your best example of evolution, they'll give some example of speciation or Darwin's finches, but not an example where you get one kind changing into a whole different kind, like reptiles to birds or something like that. That's what you don't see. So Darwin was a great observer, and he was right that animals change. He was just wrong that those changes can add up to the big changes necessary for molecules to man evolution.
Dr. Kennedy, in one of his books and messages, described evolution as the, quote, root of the problem, unquote. If we rose from the primeval slime and are descended down from lower life forms and so forth, and there is no special creation by God, why should we be surprised that young people don't value human life and they go into school settings and kill others en masse? Why should we be surprised that abortion is allowed because life is so devalued? Darwin's ideas really do apply to what we see happening today, don't they?
They do. And, you know, Dr. Kennedy was very discerning in this regard, and he had great insight because he understood it's not just about an idea of, you know, one kind of animal changing into another. It's not just an idea of ape-like creatures supposedly changing into people. It's much more than that. It's really a whole way of thinking. It's really a philosophy of life. Actually, I would say it's really a religion to explain life without God. Yeah. And, you know, in our public schools, have by and large thrown God out, the Bible out, prayer out. They say they've thrown religion out, but they haven't. They threw Christianity out and have replaced it with the religion of naturalism. Because what Darwinian evolution is all about is ultimately naturalism, and naturalism is atheism.
It's a small wonder to watch a culture in steep moral decline when its citizens have adopted the false Darwinian idea that they are simply cosmic accidents with no greater intrinsic value than an ape or a snail. The implications of this worldview are devastating and deadly. Dr. D. James Kennedy looks at more of them in this portion of one of his seminal messages, The Root of the Problem.
My sermon topic this morning is The Root of the Problem. The root of the problem of most of the great ills that have afflicted society and do afflict it today are caused by the teaching of evolution. It has been called the big lie, which has deceived hundreds of millions of people and has probably brought about more death than any other view in the history of the world. Evolution, which simply says that the whole universe is made up of nothing but matter. And matter, time, and chance, the trinity of materialism, have brought all things into existence that do exist, and therefore there is no God. One scientist said that he was confident that if they were willing to be honest about the matter, if you interviewed social scientists at our elite universities across the country, you would find out something surprising. You would find that at least 95, perhaps he says 99% of them would not be willing to sign the Declaration of Independence if they were honest. Why? Very simple. They don't believe in a creator. They don't believe that we have been created equal or any other way. They do not believe that we have been endowed with certain inalienable rights by this Creator. None of that they believe. And if they were honest, they would not sign the document that makes us and made us Americans. And he says, parents may do all that they can to rear their children to be honest and godly and moral young people, to have purpose in their lives, and then they send them off to 4 years of college, and after that, they wonder what happened. And all of those things are undermined. Evolution has made our public schools and universities and this college a mortal danger to the lives and souls of young people, with tragic consequences. Another of the fruits of evolution has been the proliferation of atheists. Do you realize that before Darwin, an atheist was as scarce as a hen's tooth? Oh, there were a few around, but very, very few. Do you know why? Because if you said you were an atheist, all I had to say to you was, look around, buddy. Where did all of this come from? And the atheist said, I don't know. And then came Charles Darwin. And one evolutionist said the greatest contribution of Charles Darwin was that he made atheism respectable. And for that, this atheistic evolutionist was forever grateful, or at least forever grateful, as far as whatever few years he had left in this world until the day of the Great Awakening, which was to come and is to come for all. So it got rid of God. Of course, you know that Hitler was a devout evolutionist and a follower of Nietzsche and Haeckel, and that he taught evolution to his troops. He gave them all of the Wehrmacht, a copy of Darwin's book and Nietzsche's book, which talked about evolution of the God-man, of our becoming God. And he was absolutely determined to create a super race by getting rid of the inferior races. As Dostoevsky put it, if there is no God, then everything is permissible. Think about it. That's true. Because of evolution, man has lost his significance. In Western civilization, it has always been held that man is a creature with a great purpose, created in the image of God to fulfill his purposes in this world, and that he has an everlasting life ahead of him. But today, students are taught that man has no purpose because, you see, teleology, the science of purposes, is the bête noire, the black beast of evolution. They cannot stand that anything would have purpose. Teleology must go. And so, therefore, everything is not pre-planned by a divine intelligence and a beneficent God who providentially provides for his creatures. No, it all happens purely by chance, with no foreview of what the end in mind is at all. Therefore, man has no purpose. Consequently, he has no significance. That's what our kids are learning in our colleges. They're nothing but a dried up little accidental twig of no significance and no purpose. And so man lost all of his divinely bestowed significance and importance in the onslaught of evolution.
As Dr. Kennedy just explained, Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory led directly to the concentration camps of Nazi Germany and the gulags of the Soviet Union. Yet today in our schools, with scant scientific basis, evolution is taught more zealously, some would say religiously, than ever before. And the results have been horrifying. Our own John Rabe has more.
I started screaming and crying and telling them not to shoot me.
Tuesday, April 20th, 1999, 11:19 a.m. Columbine High School near Littleton, Colorado, just outside of Denver. In a hail of gunfire, 11 students and one teacher are killed, and 24 others are wounded before the shooters, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, both students at the school, turn their guns on themselves. It's the worst school shooting in U.S. history to that point.
We're reaping the consequences right now in this culture of generations that have been taken through a public education system and taught a Darwinian view, taught that you can explain life by natural processes, and therefore, ultimately, your morality is whatever you want to make it to be. That's really Darwin's legacy.
If you don't accept real truth, then all other things can creep in there, and social Darwinism will creep in there and become one of the cornerstones of your worldview. In fact, it becomes an underpinning of your worldview. This can lead to violence. It can lead kids killing kids as they did at Columbine.
The killers, Eric and Dylan, badgered the kids over and over that they were killing that day. Do you believe in God? Why do you believe in God? You believe in God? Well, there, and they would kill them as if they had more power than God. Foolishly, they thought they were controlling people's lives at that point. And they wanted that power. They wanted to play God during that whole scene.
While there were presumably many factors that led to the shootings at Columbine, the autopsy report for shooter Eric Harris revealed that on the day of the attack, which would intentionally be the last day of his life, he had chosen to wear a t-shirt emblazoned with a Darwinian slogan.
To me, that would signify that if natural selection is the person's point of view, that is a fight for survival, and the people who are the strongest are going to rule. And on that day, I believe their armaments gave them the impression that they were the stronger and they had the right to deprive the lives of their students.
The killers had been planning the rampage for about a year. They chose April 20th, the birthday of Adolf Hitler, whom they revered.
Hitler was greatly influenced by Darwinianism, the idea that the various races and so forth have come through an evolutionary spiral, and he believed that the Germans were on the top of that spiral, and everybody else was quite expendable, thank you very much, just like in the animal world.
Unfortunately, Columbine was only the beginning, as year after year brings news of more tragic mass shootings.
Anyone who works in youth culture will quickly tell you that the greatest obstacle to reaching a young person's heart is this kind of pervading sense, this overwhelming, smothering culture of hopelessness. Anybody who sees kids at the mall or out at the beach or out at a local park will tell you that the sense is that nobody cares and nothing matters. Well, this is the direct fruit of Darwinism. In a sense, Darwinism teaches us that nothing really does matter.
The fact is, what Darwin did is give people license to do whatever they wanted to do because we came up through the animal world. But when we begin to act like animals, and a man takes a gun and shoots a whole lot of students in a school, suddenly, how could this happen? What is really taking place? Well, he came up through the animal world. So what else are you expecting? Isn't it interesting that when something like that happens, immediately people begin to talk about their humanism, the fact that somehow, maybe we are different from animals.
You know, when our public schools have, by and large, thrown God out, the Bible out, prayer out, they say they've thrown religion out, but they haven't. They threw Christianity out and have replaced it with the religion of naturalism. Because what Darwinian evolution is all about is ultimately naturalism, and naturalism is atheism. And that's what's really happened, is that, if you read the public school textbooks, I've read a number of them, the biology textbooks, geology textbooks, and they say, you cannot bring the supernatural into science. Science can only explain things by natural processes. What they're saying is, naturalism is the basis by which we teach you how to think about these issues, and naturalism is atheism. So when you think about that, when you have generations of kids that are now told you can explain all of reality, the whole universe, life, humans, without God, there is no God, then who decides right and wrong? Who decides what's good and what's bad?
And that's why 16 kids will kill themselves today, 16 did yesterday, 16 will tomorrow, 1,400 will attempt suicide today in America. 16 will succeed. Why? Because they feel no worth, no value, I don't matter, no hope.
It really comes down to a religious issue, teaching them naturalism, imposing a state religion of atheism on generations of kids, then their worldview will become consistent with that, and that's what we're seeing now.
What a tragedy that we teach children that they are no more than trousered apes and that life has no purpose or meaning. And then we're shocked when they act in ways consistent with that false and tragic ideology. Darwin's speculations, especially when combined with those of Karl Marx, have wrought untold devastation on our world. Ideas themselves are powerful, and there are some old, bad ideas that still exert a massive influence over our culture today, even though most are completely unaware of it. We have a resource, however, that will help you better identify those ideas and counter them with the truth. Here's my good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. That resource is the powerful book, Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave by Dave Breeze. In this book, you'll discover how the ideas of Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, John Dewey, Sigmund Freud, and others have been adopted in the institutions of our culture where they are uncritically accepted by millions, often with devastating consequences. These ideas are so pervasive that they're like the air we breathe. We hardly notice them. It's essential that as Christians we understand these powerful ideas and how Scripture refutes them. We'll send you Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave by Dave Breeze as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11-54, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the book plus the DVD program, The Three Big Lies of Socialism. While communism has receded in the wake of the fall of the Soviet Union, more than 1 in 5 people on Earth still live under harsh communist governments. But socialism, the philosophy that gave birth to communism, is accepted in many more places, including by more than 44% of American millennials, according to one recent poll. Three central lies of socialism are that there is no God, that you can have something for nothing, and that socialism works. This program refutes each of them and equips you with the truth. You'll want to understand the three big lies of socialism, as well as share the DVD with your children and grandchildren. We'll send you the book, Seven Men Who Rule the World from the Grave, plus the DVD program, The Three Big Lies of Socialism, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. As we broadcast the gospel, bring biblical truth to bear on the major issues of the day, and train tomorrow's leaders. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11-54, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
Scientists recently announced that they may soon be able to grow animal meat in the lab using DNA. This is meat that would be suitable for eating without killing animals. Well, soon after, the world's foremost atheist, Richard Dawkins, offered some thoughts on Twitter. What if human meat is grown? Could we overcome our taboo against cannibalism? An interesting test case for consequentialist morality versus yuck reaction absolutism. Well, it's unlikely that Dawkins actually has a hankering for human flesh. He presumably asks the question because he thinks it's an interesting thought experiment. The idea being that if cannibalism is wrong because it would kill a human being, perhaps it's not wrong if nobody is killed. Still, like so many of Dawkins's ideas, it's just a bunch of contrarian nonsense. Yet tellingly, it is perfectly consistent with an evolutionary worldview. When Dawkins speaks of cannibalism as a taboo to be overcome, he's merely giving an obligatory nod to human convention. As an evolutionist, he thinks it's silly for us to have an instinctive negative reaction to cannibalism, the yuck reaction, as he calls it. But what if that yuck factor is there for a reason? Under evolutionary premises, it's only there as blind biology's way of helping us preserve the species. But what if that revulsion is more than that? In fact, what if our proper antipathy, which none of us has to be taught, comes from the fact of human life being created in the image of God, and of God's law being written upon the human heart? Dawkins and his ilk are engaged in a project of searing the conscience bit by bit, which Romans 1 teaches us results from worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. They're joined in that effort by Hollywood, the music industry, pop culture, and academia, among others. It is unlikely, of course, that Dawkins really cares about any of this. It is little more than another platform for advancing his evolutionary orthodoxy, which teaches that we are nothing but accidental products of time and chance. In the end, evolutionists argue ideas that were once unthinkable. We see the tragic result of that in our culture almost daily. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
God's anvil stands, for the word of the Lord endureth forever.
When I was elected president, that was just the opening of the door to the kind of reformation that had to take place. And, as soon as I was named, even before I was elected, the battle started.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.